And she's a teenage Trinidadian girl. So I'll just start at the beginning, which I think that's probably the easiest thing. And I might read more if you want me to. Okay, so I'll just go with what I have. I knew about my parents from the things I was told. I had never seen a photograph of either of them, because there weren't any. But Aunt Tassie said that, of course, my mother was pretty. And when I asked her how pretty, she pointed at a pink hibiscus flower sticking out of a bush and said, "Pretty like that." "How did she wear her hair?" I asked. "Well, she tied her hair in a knot, and she wrapped a cloth around her head," she told me one cool afternoon while we were walking into Black Rock Village to look for cassava. "And how tall was she? And what color exactly were her eyes? You say they were black, but were they woody black, or were they black like African bees? Were they round or slanted? Were they big or small? And what did people think of her when they passed by? I mean, would they turn their heads?" Mostly when I asked these sorts of questions, my aunt carried on doing whatever she was doing as if I hadn't said anything at all. But it didn't stop me from asking about my mother or thinking about my mother and wondering what she was like. I knew that she had worked in a barbershop called Mona's in Bacolet, and she met my father in the same salon. My father was passing through the islands on his way home to England from panning gold in British Guyana. And I knew that she probably didn't cut hair like his too often. "How could she?" I told Aunt Tassie, "if he was a white man." Whenever I said this was a romantic way to meet, my aunt said, "I shouldn't get caught in romance." And she usually said this when Roman Bartholomew, her husband, was in earshot. She said my mother died after a long and difficult labor. "Did she see me?" I asked my aunt when I was 5 years old. I couldn't bear the idea of my mother never having seen me. "Yes," Aunt Tassie said. "Before she died, she saw your tiny face and it made her at the same
time." Because for the first time in her life, she was happy. Then my aunt shook her head, as if thinking about my mother made her sad, and I felt bad for asking. So I was lying on my mother's stomach, covered in her slimy juices when she took her last breath. And we were in a room without windows, and it was very hot, so they moved her to another room with a window, and they opened it wide so her soul could fly out into the sky. It was night, and someone lit a flambeau in the yard to help her find her way. Aunt Tassie sent a letter to my father in Southampton, England, but my father didn't reply. And they buried my mother in St. George's graveyard, and they put a little cross of wood because they didn't have money for a stone. And when I asked my aunt if I'd killed my mother, she said, "Of course not. And how could I think so? When one soul flies in, another flies out." I was unlucky. It just so happened that Aunt Tassie had a postcard from Southampton sent to her by Father Carmichael. It was a photograph of a port and a lot of people waving at passengers that I couldn't quite make out. I could see the bow of a large boat, but I couldn't see the passengers. Southampton was written in capital letters along the bottom. Sometimes I took this postcard from behind Aunt Tassie's dresser, where it was held in place with a hair clip, and I stared at the waving English people, and I wondered if my father could be one of them, or at least look like one of them. Everyone said I was lucky to have Aunt Tassie. My cousins, Vera and Violet, they were 3 years younger than me. They looked the same, and they spoke the same, and they both laughed in the same way. Aunt Tassie often said how beautiful they were, but I never thought so. Their skin, yes, their skin was dark and shiny and smooth like a melangen. But their faces were ordinary and identical, and their bodies were straight and thin like stick men you draw when you don't know how to draw somebody. But like me, they didn't have a father. The moment Vera and Violet were born, their father ran away with a girl from Barbados, and no one ever saw or heard from him again. I was very young, so I don't remember too much about this, but I remember that Aunt Tassie was often too sad to leave the house. Then one afternoon, she took a walk into Buku,
And along the Buku Road came Roman Bartholomew, a short, skinny man who the villagers called Allah because he thought he was God. He said, "Hello, Tassy Dabbity," and he took off his hat. My aunt nodded politely. She knew of Roman Bartholomew, but she'd never spoken to him before. "How would you like to go to a dance in Kambi village tonight?" "Yes," she said. "Why not? I have nothing else to do." Next thing they were an item, and Roman got a job right there in Campbell's hardware store in Blackrock. Every day on her way to Robinson Crusoe Hotel, where she cleaned rooms, Aunt Tassie would pass the blue wooden building and peer into the darkness and look for Roman. Sometimes he waved or he came out front and stepped into the bright white light. It was like that sometimes, a glaring light blasting everything as the sun climbed high above the island. And he might say, "Tassie, you have anything?" And she'd say, "Yes, I brought you juice," or a mango, or sugar cake, or whatever she had. Or she might say, "No, nothing you didn't get already." And then she would turn and be on her way. Sometimes Roman asked her for money. "Tassie, you have a little change?" And she would dig inside the pocket of her blue and white checkered apron and pull out a coin and give it to him. I didn't like the way Roman looked at me out of the corner of his slitty eyes, so I always hung back near the old pipe stand. "Celia's so shy," he'd say, "like a little bird." And then he'd reach out his hand and whistle as if I really was a bird. People said it was like going from the frying pan into the fire, but Aunt Tassie felt so lucky to have found a man willing to put up with another man's children and her dead sister's child, me, that she latched onto him like a raft in the sea. He didn't have 2 cents to rub together, and she didn't care. As Aunt Sula once said, "You see what you want to see, and you hear what you want to hear." Later that year, Roman, realizing he was onto a good thing, made Aunt Tassie an honest woman.